Welcome back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International. It's time for our Revita program, and we have with us in the studio Abdul Haq Trada and Adil Mia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all our listeners out there, jazakumullahu khairan once again for the opportunity. To Radio Islam and to mainly our listeners out there who make these programs successful, inshallah, by giving all those calls and asking those questions. Alhamdulillah, we're having lots of positive feedback from the people out there. But like I say to them always, I don't mind answering your questions after hours, but it's more important you give us a call on air, so there are so many more other people that will benefit from this, alhamdulillah. So yeah, don't be scared, don't be shy. Nobody can see who you are. You don't have to give your name. You can remain anonymous. But yeah, give us that call, so when we explain, everybody else can also get the knowledge.
You seem to be enjoying the change in weather already, Abdul Haq.
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, it's beautiful. Mufti Saab, it's beautiful. And I think myself and Adil are just standing on toes now at the moment. Inshallah, we want to do that fishing trip this weekend. Inshallah, make dua for us that we get there safely and return safely, more importantly than the fishing.
Inshallah. I suppose, you know, from your point of view, Brother Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, with the summer months coming on and you having to do sometimes, you know, touching the engines and all the tools in it, do you look forward to the summer months?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab, nice to see you again. Mufti Saab, towering above us. See, Mufti Saab, I think we as mechanics and people who work on the outdoors mostly enjoy more the summer months, because in winter it can get a bit hectic. And, you know, to let your spanner slip in the winter time and let your finger heat against something cold. Not a nice feeling. But alhamdulillah, see, the summer months are much, much and well appreciated. Inshallah, we have a good summer. And and all the listeners out there have hassle-free car.
Motoring.
And car give them good service and take them safely. That's the most important. Unfortunately, we're hearing so much tragedy happening around us today. You know, people, families are getting involved in accidents and people losing their lives. You know, it's a sad thing. You know, I was just reading the other day that flying is actually safer. You know, and there's so much things going into flying that there are, at each given time, there's 1 million people in the air flying around the world. You know, at any given time. So basically, there's more people flying around the world than driving around the world. I mean, okay, you know, and people yet are more scared to fly than to drive. And the more casualties we have, fatalities are in road accidents. So, you know, what came to my mind is that, you know, to make drivers more aware of the environment, how to drive the motor vehicle. So basically what came to mind is when sending a new driver, for example, to acquire his license, put him in a simulator, you know, like how they put a pilot in a simulator. That's why flying is so safe, because before the pilot gets out there to fly his plane, he's in a simulator for hours and days. He just doesn't go get his learner's license and go and fly the plane with all the other planes in the air. Yes, imagine what a catastrophe that would have been. I mean, today drivers, if you look at it, it's a serious thing. Today drivers are put on the road without even knowing how to drive. So basically they go for a learner's test and then they go sit to their mom or their dad next to them in the car and they're driving with all the other hooligans on the road. And it's so yeah, put a learner in a simulator. Make him simulate the car. And in today, simulators can be made. I mean, you don't have to have an advanced flying simulator. Yes. A normal car simulator. I mean, Formula One drivers today are in simulators. Get him to know the track. Get him to know the car. So things like that, I think, can benefit mankind. And, okay, I hear that, you know, whatever it is in Allah's hands, the motor. We all have to agree the world.
But take our precaution.
But take our precaution. I mean, so much money has been put into other things.
But
put money into safety of people. I mean, look at the families are going. I mean, they're going on an expedition. They're going on a happy occasion. And you have this problem. You're not saying that, you know, it mustn't happen. It has to happen. There is a life and the tragedy.
Yeah, but you see, Brother Adil, the other question that arises from this whole scenario is how many people out there have bought their driver's license.
There's another thing.
You know, they don't know how to drive.
People are driving motor cars. I mean, I know it feels, because I lost my mom in a motor car accident and I was 9 years old. And she passed away because the guy was driving the truck was drunk. And he drove the truck into them. So it wasn't their fault also. They were innocently driving their motor vehicle coming home. And the same thing with all other tragedies we heard in this couple of weeks. People are innocently driving. And the convenience of another person's causing another person's inconvenience, because he's in a hurry to overtake and get to his destination, and here he caused the whole family and basically a whole community's inconvenience. Look at it, how life can change in 1 second. You don't have your family, you don't have your mom, your children, your mother-in-law, your father. It's a sad thing, but what we have to realize is the government should put this into place. I mean, make it a more driver-friendly environment. I mean, people are aggressive. People are
frustrated. I think the problem,
you know, there's no love and mohabbat on the road. People always are in a hurry. You know, you come to a stop street. It's a four-way stop. The guy comes there. He wants to go first. He doesn't care. You know what? Rather you go. You know, a four-way stop. A robot becomes a four-way stop. No one's courteous anymore. Everybody's in a hurry. No, we need to go and break our fast. We need to go rush for salah. We need to get to work. We gotta leave early. I mean, show good character. That's what we taught. I mean, Nabi alayhi salam taught us good character.
Yeah.
But we lack him badly. You know, we don't have courtesy anymore. There's no courtesy on the road. The drivers are not relaxed.
Yeah, but put it, you see, all well said, you know, pertinent points and very important things you are saying. But more importantly, I would say, as far as our police force, or you want to call it the government issue, or whatever you want to call it from there, it stems from there. You know, I mean, guys are driving, like you said, pathetic, but why not implement the law? I mean, today, you know, someone tells me the other day they got away with a 2 rand. You know, they bribed the cop with a 2 bucks, a lousy 2 bucks. I mean, come on, guys. You know, I'm not against the cops, but I'm against the corruption that is prevalent and so rife in them.
Now, you guys touched on a number of things. I just want to share with you my own thoughts. You know, you were saying about the taxi at the invasion, that you just, you know, if the pilots had to just start flying, what would happen? And that was what the fear was when Sentaco, the taxi association, announced 3 years ago, they're starting an aeroplane service airline. And was everyone's fear. Fortunately, that didn't take off. And you talk about, you know...
No, but you know why they didn't start it, eh? Because those things don't have roof carriers.
Yes, fortunately for that one. It was almost going in the same direction. I fly. It's going to stop in Bishop. Maybe I have to put stop in here.
The taxi guy will stop anywhere, anytime, any place, and load a passenger and offload a passenger.
Yeah, but courtesy. Like I said, the other thing.
Now, you know, on the taxi issue, there's one thing, there's so many things coming up that we'd like to. There's certain things that, you know, a taxi guy, if you ask him, if you make a sign and give you a place, he'll give you. But other people will ignore you. That's one thing. And you'll see when one taxi guy stops, he's stuck, another will stop. So there's certain qualities that they possess which other drivers don't possess.
Yeah, but...
So I know there's the goodness that you also need to learn from them also.
Right. No, look, all said and done. But unfortunately, we're not learning the goodness from them. Because, this is supposed to have been something we were supposed to discuss as far as the safety tips are concerned for today. And what happened this particular week was rather sad... In the sense that there is a scholar patrol outside the school. They are there for a reason. And this youngster drives right through a scholar patrol that is stopping him. He could have hit somebody's child. He could have hit the scholar patrol child. He could have hit so many things. I mean, guys, like Brother Adil said, you are a Muslim. You are a Muslim. What example are you setting? What courtesy have you got? What sort of Islam are you following, in the sense that, you know what, the kids are crossing. It'll take them a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Think about it. Your child could be on the receiving end. If she was or he was crossing the scholar patrol and somebody had to whack the child, you would have thrown your toys out the cot and you'd gone mad. I mean, this guy must go in for murder and whatever. But if you do it, it's fine. Is this the bad effects that we want to do about driving? Where are those parents who let their kids drive without license, who are totally and absolutely irresponsible? I don't say if they don't have license and they're responsible, you must let them drive. Look, if under circumstances, it's fine. But those that are reckless, you walk up to a parent and you say, you know, your lighty's been driving terribly, and this, you know what, all the lighties are driving like that.
Yeah.
Right? But if everyone has that mentality, that, no, it's okay if he drives badly, what the hell? So, please, guys, you know what? Listen, it saves lives. It saves hassles. There's so much of problems we can save on those roads out there. So, yeah. My safety tip especially is, guys, there's a scholar patrol out there for a very, very, very good reason, so your child can get across the road safely. Please, let's obey these things. There might be kids standing out there, but they come early in the morning. It's cold. They get up earlier than normal. They take the effort. They with pride, they wear those vests. And then they stick out that stop sign. It's there for a good reason. Let's use it, not abuse it.
I know one thing that you spoke about, you know, the fact that possibly it's safer to be in the air than on the road. Now, I'd just like to share with you a personal experience. A couple of years ago, my younger brother wanted to do a scuba diving course, and I wasn't really interested in it, but just to accompany him, he dragged me along, and before I knew it, I found myself 4 meters underwater in the pool, learning all the different signs and having the tank on and taking it off. And then there was a group going out to sea the next day, and they said, you've got to go with. And I was terrified that, you know, I just came here and now I'm going to go out to sea. And I thought maybe it's the harbor or something. And they said, no, this the sea, and I know there's sharks in the, off the coast of P. And I asked, do we have any protection? He said, no. And while we were going down to the sea, this guy is telling me that, let me tell you something, the possibility of you meeting in an accident going to the harbor is greater than a shark biting you statistically.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
These are some of the statistics.
But you know, coming back to that, and some of the steps we can continue. But all the fatalities we had last year with all the air disasters, you know, with the Malaysian Air and all the other guys, over 1,000 people lost their lives in air crashes. But you know how many people lost their lives in car accidents? 1.2 million. So you can see the difference. You see, that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, you know, alhamdulillah, one of our brothers, I think it was Yusuf Bai from Abramji, you know, he came out of it, arrived alive. You know, things like that should be proactive in our society, you know. Teach people, make them aware, like, you know, we have our safety tip, like, you know, like now. Such a simple thing. Obey the scholar patrol. I mean, he's a little kid, but he's vest and he's doing his job. So, I mean, if you're not going to show disrespect to him, what respect are you going to show onto the road users?
Yeah, but you see, it boils down to the fact that if each individual behaves responsibly, drives responsibly, then obviously our problems are sorted out. But this is, you know, it's road rage. It's, I need to go before you. I'm in such a big hurry. But if you're in a hurry, why didn't you leave 5 minutes earlier?
See, the other sad thing, Mohsisab, is that it doesn't occur to you till it happens to you. You know, we're not proactive. So, you know, if it doesn't happen to you, it's not my problem. But Allah forbid, it's going to happen. It can happen to you, it can happen to me, it can happen to Abdul, it can happen to anybody tomorrow. That's why I say, be courteous on the road. You know, it doesn't take
I've had two in the last month, which was not my fault.
If you come into the stop street, you know...
Two accidents.
Really?
Yeah.
In 1 month?
In 1 month.
And both weren't your fault. So you say.
No. So I can prove.
Really?
Yeah, but really, honestly, I mean, I think it's 100% correct in his statements that, you know what, guys, let's wake up. Let's wake up. It's about time we all wake up. What are we teaching our kids? Is this what we're passing on to our kids? That you can be a reckless driver and pull signs at the next driver that, you know... you know, Morana, I know this is a radio station, a family station, but we're going to talk very, very simple, straight. You know, we always maintain one thing. You know, a guy that's quicker than you, you always call him a maniac.
Yeah.
And the guy who's slower than you, you say, look at this idiot. Is that what we want?
If everybody tomorrow had to jump into their vehicles and say, today I'm going to be the most courteous driver in the whole world. So jump into your vehicle, put a smile on your face, put your safety belt on, leave your mobile phone alone, and drive courteously, follow the speed limit. If you want to speed 100%, there's a racetrack there. They'll charge you a couple hundred and go speed how much you want to speed. I'm not saying speeding is wrong, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying speeding is right or speeding is wrong. But it's a time to speed, and it's a time to be courteous, and it's a time, and there's no time whatsoever to be reckless. Recklessness can cause fatalities among innocent people, little children, old people, really. You know, look at a guy with a truck a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
You know, he wiped out 16 cars on the highway. I mean, you know, because why? His brakes were out.
But it wasn't his brakes, obviously.
And you know, the truck wasn't roadworthy. You know, things like that. It's little things. I mean, look, this is business owners. Because of greed. That is the thing. I mean, because to make more money, even the taxis, we need to get there quicker because we can load more passengers. And at the end of the day, make more money. That's what is. Everybody's in a hurry to them. To get there, to go there. Why? Because they're chasing after dunya to get to that destination, to make that pound, to make that dollar.
Your suggestion sounds rather scary. Imagine tomorrow if everybody's driving courteously on the road, you probably wouldn't manage driving anymore. Because what the bad habits we've all picked up over the years.
Maybe it'll come. Why were you on the safety tips? Also, another thing came to my mind. You know, just today, going over that low water bridge, you know, going in from Robertsham, coming into Crown Mines.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hot spot. You know, there was a lady in a car, and then she stopped at that low water bridge, and this guy just came from behind, and he knocked the back window, and he grabbed what was in the back seat. And he, you know, this guy,
you seen the whole thing?
No, no, no. A friend of mine was coming to my shop and he told me the whole thing. It happened so quickly, you know, by the time he could even get out the car, these guys are gone. You see, this is their job, unfortunately. This is what they found. And I appeal to all our mothers and sisters out there, you know, avoid going to these places. You know, rather go with someone or your hubby or whatever. Even if it's a necessity, it's a different story. And even if you come into these places, you have to put your handbag in the boot. That's don't leave it. Anything exposed on your front seat, on your back seat. And another piece of good
jewelry
advice.
Jewelry as well.
When you leave your window about a centimeter open, a little open, because it has more room for flexibility. So these guys can't shatter the window if it's a little open.
Again, but it'll take a lot more to shatter.
Because you see, they normally hit it one go when they shatter it. But if they're going to leave it a little open, it's going to hit it a couple of times and then they frustrate them and they leave you. So those three basic things, when you come into these areas, slow down, be cautious, be vigilant what's happening around you. Number two is don't leave anything on the seat, your mobile phone, your handbag, the little key stuff, whatever it is, laptops, and leave your window a little open, about a millimeter or a centimeter.
Yeah, about a centimeter should be.
And don't even open your window when you come into these areas. If it's hot, leave the window closed. Don't even go there.
Take the heat, because the other heat you can't take.
So inshallah, all these little things can benefit our listeners. Inshallah. Can put into
we better take that commercial break, and when we come back, we'll take the queries. 072-786-1548, the SMS number. Yes. Or preferably call in 011-854-1548.
Your motoring needs simplified. For leisure, pleasure, adventure or hard labor, we have it all in our box. From the versatile Micra, spacious Elmira, refined Sentra, reliable Qashqai, to the tough as nails X-Trails and Navaras, find the box at Motor Deal Joburg. Call Motor Deal Johannesburg at 011-835-3535. Staff, friendly and ready to offer you great deals, great service. And remember, we also have Sharia-compliant finance options available in our box.
As a man, a father and a husband, I wanted to provide not only a house for my beloved family, but a home too. A home where they could find all the comforts they desired and deserved. With Mortalis Hardware and Timber City, I was able to do just that.
Helping you turn your house into a home. Mortalis Hardware and Timber City, your one-stop building suppliers. For building, maintaining and renovating your home and business, you can get all under one roof. With free quotations, advice and deliveries within specified areas. Mortalis Hardware and Timber City, Main Lawley Road, Ankerville, 172. To Lanesha Drive, phone 011-852-6245.
Colors of India Shopping Festival at the Lanesha Cricket Stadium in the big white tent behind Signet Terrace from 21st August to 6th September, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Bringing you the latest designs from India. Bridal wear, Punjabis, kurti tops, footwear, jewelry, Kashmiri carpets and food courts. 21st August to 6th September, 17 days only, no extensions. Entrance from Robin and Hummingbird Avenue, free entry and secured parking.
Triple BEE, Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment. How about Best Business Behavior, Exemplary Excellence? Have you had a good or bad experience as a client or customer? Or have you observed good customer behavior while running your business? If so, share your story and here's one way to do it. Submit your experience of no longer than 200 words to ecofin@islamsa.org.za. That's ecofin@islamsa.org.za. And your story can be read out on the weekly at Tajir Hour. Only on Radio Islam International. Submission requirements. Stories should not contain real names of people or service providers. Stories should be submitted no later than the last Friday preceding the regular Tuesday at Tajir Hour. Please note that Radio Islam International reserves the right to select, edit, and air submissions.
Radio Islam will be holding its annual general meeting on Sunday, the 30th of August 2015 at the Masjid Salihin Hall, 9:30 a.m. inshallah. Included will be the minutes of the previous AGM, the chairman's address and the audited financial statements. We hereby request our community to attend.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022 and receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In Mokopane on Saturday, the 22nd of August, 17 Mispil Street. Contact 015-491-7860. In Polokwane on Monday, the 24th of August. Number 4, Jaipur Avenue, Nirvana. Contact 015-292-0352. Technicians for the miscellaneous regions are Abed Boraji 079-810-4390 or Isa Kaunda 078-675-5425. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
Kickstart your weekend on Radio Islam International with Rev It Up, the motor program that solves all your problems under the hood, from maintenance to repairing, service to traveling tips. It's the only pit stop you'll ever need. So buckle up and tune in to Radio Islam International every Friday at 7 p.m. as Abdul Haq Kathrada and Adil Mia push your motor knowledge into fifth gear. Friday evenings, Rev It Up. You bring the tea, we bring the donuts.
Yes, we move on to the next segment of the program, and that is the review. What do we have this evening on the review section or segment?
Gee, Marana, what we discussed a few weeks ago on our radio program, that there should be a format that we put into place. So, mashallah, and to give our listeners a more brief insight on the new aspects of motor vehicles, car troubles, car prices. So the safety tip, basically the introduction. Now every week we decided that we have a review on a vehicle that's been launched. Maybe it won't be every week, because maybe they won't launch a vehicle every week, maybe every month or every second week. So today we discussed the new Honda HR-V, which was launched a week, couple of weeks ago in our country. And a lot of people are taking the crossover route, you know. You can see a lot of crossover vehicles in our country, you know, different shapes and sizes and different brands of vehicles. So alhamdulillah, the Honda HR-V, it was before in our country in early 2000s, and it took off well, but not much sales of it around. But the new HR-V, very successful in Japan, over 140,000 units sold already. And with Honda's proven reliability, you know, of engine and gearbox and most of the other derivatives of the vehicle, alhamdulillah, I think it will be a good seller. There's two models available in our country. It will be the 1.5 and the 1.8, with only about a 50,000 difference between the two. So starting from about 299,000 to about 350,000, you can pick up yourself a Honda HR-V. And got some cool features in the car. You know, Hondas, I don't know if when you buy a motor vehicle, you look for all the cool things in the car, you know, like all the storage space and all the
cup holders.
And Honda is one of the motor manufacturers that you can really, what they say, stash things, you know. So whatever you want to stash in your car, Honda's got all the hooks and reikis and all the hooks and corners to put all your little gadgets and gizmos. So I think it will be a good seller amongst most of the different nations in our country. And so we haven't driven one as yet, but inshallah we do, we can give you our feedback on it. But as the motor journalists have said, that it can be a winner, inshallah.
What's your thoughts, Abdullah?
Mufti, I don't think you know me at all.
Honda, Abdullah is a Honda.
Nobody's ever asked me
an opinion. His middle name is Honda.
Nobody's ever asked me an opinion on a Honda, but my personal thing has always been brilliant, fantastic, phenomenal, hassle-free motoring. I have two of them. I will fix them, whether they bumped or wrecked or whatever. I will fix them and I will carry on driving those vehicles. Because alhamdulillah, as far as my first thing, you know, with the current situation in our country, as far as all these problems are concerned, Honda has been very, very reliable as of from the beginning. I mean, I've been with Honda when I started working on Hondas from 1985. So I recall the very first one that came out up until today. I can recall all the Hondas that came out. Look, the preludes were not so successful, the two doors in our country, nor was the CRX so much more successful either. But as far as the family vehicle is concerned, it's been an absolutely brilliant vehicle. I'm not surprised at the new HRV that they've launched. Look, as far as they've got a Mobilo as well, hey, Adil.
Yeah.
That's a 7-seater that they've taken out. Okay, it's a 1.5. It's meant for mom to take the kids to school, or you know, a lot of workers going pool club or whatever the case may be. But yes, Honda's always been a brilliant vehicle. There is a bit of a misconception as far as the maintenance on the vehicle is concerned. People tend to think, you know, because initially when Honda was in this country, Mercedes-Benz was marketing it for them, and people think it's from the same stable. It's not from the same stable. It's totally different. Mercedes-Benz is German. Honda is Japanese. They were just using Mercedes to market it. And with the result, people have come to a conclusion that, you know, these vehicles are, you know, from Mercedes, and they will be rather expensive. And, you know, all the things that go with it. But fortunately for me, as I said, the experience has been brilliant with Honda. And, yeah, look, all vehicles today cost a different amount of money, but, you know, it averages out with everything else. But if you look across the range as far as the Hondas are concerned, and you do any comparison, as far as reliability and everything else is concerned, you look at resale value, you know, it's fantastic. Look, we all have some flops. They were, I wouldn't say flops as far as they were concerned, but it just didn't take off in our country, certain of these vehicles. But it's about time Honda brings out more of the products that they have overseas in our country, because they make some beautiful, you know, like the 7-seaters and things like that. They make some very, very beautiful ones. So yeah, I've Mufti, now you've learned that, you know, don't talk Honda to me, because I'll swear by Honda.
Nice to hear. 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. You know, I just thought maybe you guys can comment about this, that there's a huge hole on Rose Avenue, and there was a message going around that, be careful, two cars have already been damaged. So there's a huge hole in the road on Rose Avenue heading towards, as a result of a burst by Arwan Kash, car wash. Things like this, you know, people should be careful, and damage that can be done.
Another issue leading to our roads, our condition of our roads, the condition of the drivers. So it's all just coming into one pot again, you know. So exactly, Mossab, I mean, you know, they charge you on the fuel levy, the road tax, and all these things. You pay it in the fuel levy. So where does all the funds go to maintain the road? And now they even charge you an e-toll. So, you know, the funds are there. Not like you know, we don't want to go into that debate now and start a huge debate about who's doing what.
You see, coming to...
I'm saying at least make the roads safer for the people who travel on.
Look, obviously, brother, we are aware of this. We remember the, you know, these guys who fall out the potholes and things like that. Look, in our country, I think, like you said, more importantly, you know, let's drive at the speed limit. There's a better chance that you would not hit that pothole. You stop before it, or you might get into it, but a lot lighter. If you use, for example, the following distance of vehicles, I know it's difficult to do that. But if we start practicing these things, then inshallah we will be able to manage driving around these potholes instead of getting right into the potholes. Because if we're going to sit back, I understand where you're coming from, you know, with the taxes we're paying and everything else, the fuel levies, everything else. But we know for the fact that it's not going to happen overnight where these things are going to be fixed. But rather we should take the precaution of not getting into them. Inshallah, one day they will fill the pothole.
011-854-1548, that is the number to call in. Let us look at some of the questions that have come through. The first one says, if there's a resistance on the cooling fan, if resistance on cooling fan is high, what does it mean? It's a bit unclear.
The resistance on the
Absolutely
fan.
Unclear. It's rather vague, I would say. It's difficult to answer such a question. I would have thought the resistance is too low, you said. Too high.
The resistance, I think I understand the best question.
Okay, all right, you go for it.
If the resistance on the cooling fan is too high, that means the cooling fan will work at its maximum output. Because the cooling fan the cooling fan speed works on the resistance that it gets from the signal from the engine temperature sensor. So basically, the speed of the cooling fan will work on the resistance received from the cooling temperature sensor. So the lower resistance, the lower the speed of the engine fan. And the higher the resistance, the higher the speed of the engine fan. So that's basically, so if the resistance on the engine fan is high, the fan is working
overtime and he's working at a higher speed. So you'll hear that like a droning noise as soon as you start the car. So you definitely got a fault. Most of the cars today, if it picks up a fault on the engine ECU or the engine temperature sensor, it just gives high resistance to the fan to keep that the fan kicking because there's no communication at the temperature of the engine.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, obviously you're going to have a look at it, I wouldn't say that urgently, but you'd have
No, no, you must, because quickly, otherwise you can damage the fan.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're going to burn out the fan motor quickly, and that could become a more costly exercise.
Next one is Golf 1 1998 model, shadow on takeoff. What can it be?
Golf 1 1998. Golf 1 1998.
Yeah, Golf Mark 1 1988.
And maybe an 88. 88.
Or maybe it's a 1998. You know, because yeah, the Golf 1 also had 1998.
Generally on a manual vehicle. Generally on a manual vehicle, the first thing I would look at is obviously how the clutch is, how the clutch operates. It could either be the clutch or obviously the other thing comes into engine mountings and ball joints and everything else like that. But more often than not, the culprit on that would be the clutch itself. Either the flywheel has got a bit of warpage on it or something like that, and as you pull off, you feel that shudder on pull-off, and eventually it sort of subsides and sometimes even totally disappears at higher speeds.
The next one says that, do you really need a high-volume oil pump?
Yeah, it depends. If you race in a car.
The questions are rather vague today, but yeah, no, not a problem. We'll try and do our best.
Trying to stretch your guys' imagination.
No, shukr alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala will give us, inshallah, the knowledge, and because we want to assist the people out there. Higher volume oil pump obviously depends on what type of engine you have on the vehicle. If, for example, you have high performance engines, which nowadays vehicles, most of them are high performance vehicles, you would need a good amount of lubrication on the engine itself, and that would require one of these pumps. But that pump would come probably standard with the motor vehicle. Or obviously, if you, for example, now you want to do a vehicle up, you want to put bigger pistons in, and you want to cut the valves, and cut the cams and soup the vehicle up, then obviously you're going to go out and that for that particular vehicle look for a oil pump that pushes out much higher volume of oil. Because obviously otherwise you're going to have excessive wear on the motor due to lack of lubrication. The other thing coming to the oil pump that comes to mind, and it's becoming a little bit of a regular thing that I'm picking up at the shop lately, is due to lack of oil services or oil changes on the vehicles on time, the oil pumps tend to be clogging up rather regularly, and it's the results are absolutely expensive, if I can put it that way. Because what happens is, like we're talking about the volume of the oil pump, obviously the oil pump gets clogged up, or the pickup that gets clogged up, you're going to have less oil coming onto the system, and obviously the guys are driving at higher speeds today and trying to get much quicker around the place, revving up the motor vehicles higher. We're having problems with the rings and bearings and things like that that's causing excessive wear to the motor itself. So yeah, importantly, please guys, just make sure you do a regular oil change, put in a decent oil in the car, to prevent these sort of things. You know, prevention obviously is better than cure. We know these old proverbs that come from very, very long time ago, and we see it on a regular basis. But yes, as far as the oil pumps are concerned, if you have a high-performance vehicle, you will need a better output from your oil pump. With the other older vehicles, yeah, you can still carry on with the normal sort of lubrication that goes on in the vehicle.
Adil, the next one says that how often should one change the oil pump?
The what pipe?
The oil pump.
The oil pump. The oil pump is not necessary to change all the time. Like we always mention on our program, that if the regular oil services have been done and up to date, the oil pump can last you a very long time. It can last you basically the lifetime of the whole engine and the whole car. But if the oil and the services are not changed, the services are not done regularly, and the oil not changed regularly, and a poor quality of oil is used, then you're definitely going to have an oil pump failure, and resulting into an engine failure, and then resulting in repairing the whole engine and renewing the oil pump. So basically, oil pumps, there's no lifespan on an oil pump. If you do it correctly, it can last you a long time.
The other factor that comes into play, as well as far as the oil, the lubrication, the oil pump itself, all that's concerned, very importantly, you know, I'm not running any sort of manufacturer or anybody down, but use a decent oil filter. You know, go buy a cheap Hong Kong oil filter that's got newspaper inside it. I mean, we don't know it's got newspaper, but obviously the paper that actually makes up the filter. You know, we say always, goedkoop is dierkoop. So you're going to go buy a cheap filter and do an oil change. Don't fool yourself. Buy something decent, something reputable. At the end of the day, it's to the benefit of your vehicle, and you want a long life out of your vehicle. The only way you're going to get a long life out of the vehicle is to look after the vehicle. And you're going to spend a couple of bob on the car nowadays. Unfortunately, things are expensive. But yeah, spend a couple of bob on the car, and at the end of the day, it should last you longer.
The next one is that it says that how to reduce oil consumption on a high mileage car.
Gee, well, yeah, the good quality oil is going to be your best bet. But I mean, the damage is done to the engine already, and the rings are worn and things are gone. It's going to be very hard to reduce oil. There are all those gimmicks out there. Stop smoke and stop oil and high engine performance lubricants and things like that. Can be tried. I mean, you know, I've tried, but there's no real success. I mean, you can reduce your oil level, but if the engine is done its job, there's no way you can refer it and go back.
You're correct 100% of the other, and I will tell you from a personal experience many, many years ago, as far as the stop smoke is concerned. Yeah. You know, a stop smoke is basically there to make that smoke that actually comes out from your exhaust, to make it invisible. That's all it does. It makes it invisible. It will not reduce your oil consumption. Okay, some people might say, but I will say maybe 1% to 2% it will reduce. But more than that, I doubt it very, very much. And that is a gimmick. A lot of people are using, I'm going to sell the car, just put a bottle of stop smoke in there. So when the guy revs it up, he doesn't actually really see the smoke. But you will find that the consumption of the oil still remains. A mechanical failure cannot be really bypassed. It cannot be bypassed. A mechanical failure will remain and it will stand there. So there's no other way that you can say, you know, I've broken my arm. You know, I'm just going to have this tablet and that should be fine. You know, it'll fix my broken arm. It's not going to. It's a mechanical failure, and a mechanical failure has to be repaired. The engine opened up, rings, bearings, do all the measurements and everything else. It is a costly exercise, but unfortunately, don't fool yourself by putting any of these gimmicks in there and saying that this will improve the oil consumption.
And there are oil companies out there that have this high miler oil, high miler oil you can use, but I don't know if there's real success in it. I haven't really tried.
All it is, Adil, I've picked up, and that is a little bit of thicker oil, which takes a little longer to burn out.
Probably.
And that will reduce that in that way. But like I said earlier on, it does not rectify a mechanical failure in the car.
Correct. The next one, by replacing the burnt valve on a car, will the compression be normal?
By replace, yes, 100% of the compression. You see, because if you're going to... A burnt valve is going to cause low compression because the valve is not sitting properly. The valve is not 100%. It is highest flexibility to do its job. So basically, if you're going to replace the burnt valve, definitely the compression is going to improve.
Now, you can bring it back to normal.
Yeah.
Now, the next one says that, how does one fix a leaking head gasket?
Yeah, the leaking head gasket is the number one culprit in all motor repairs. And caused by car overheating or car driving without water. To repair a leaking cylinder gasket, you're going to have to remove the whole top of the cylinder. It's not an easy task, and it's not a cheap task also. And it will have to be taken by a guy who knows about, basically a motor technician.
Especially in today's vehicles.
In today's vehicles.
Timings are very, very difficult to adjust and set. But just coming back to add on to what Brother Adil had mentioned, he says as far as the water is concerned, obviously there's a problem there. The other thing, I don't know if you recall, Brother Adil, on the W124 series, lack of antifreeze, and you could get corrosion on the cylinder head, which in turn corroded your cylinder head gasket, and you had leakage on that as well. And then what happens, the other thing also that is a culprit, and we find it a good few times, I've picked it up on Toyotas especially, is where, you know, you had your cylinder head previously done with a mechanic or whatever, technician, whatever, and he uses a poor quality gasket. And I find that the gasket was blowing between two cylinders. So you basically, your compression was you know, you were losing compression between two cylinders, because the one cylinder was passing into the other cylinder, and the other cylinder was passing into the other cylinder, and with the result you had what we call a loss of compression and misfire and lack of pressure, lack of power on the vehicle as well. So yeah, these are a couple of things that we do say that could cause a leaking head gasket.
The next one, it says that what are some of the causes of high oil consumption?
The main cause of high oil consumption is worn out rings on your piston. That is the number one cause of high oil consumption. Your piston rings are worn out, your compression rings are worn out. Basically, your engine is worn out. The other reason for high oil consumption is leaking oil seals in your engine. That means you have a leak, oil leak, a very bad oil leak on your engine. But those are the two main causes of high oil consumption.
If you'd like to call in, we have a few minutes left before we terminate this evening. 011-854-1548. Black smoke from the exhaust, what does it mean?
Normally, black smoke from the exhaust is to do with fuel, excessive fuel or unburned fuel that's coming out of the system.
Okay, let's go to the caller. Ah, the caller dropping off. Okay, leaving that. I'll tell you, we might continue on.
Indeed.
You just answered the question. You know, sometimes something comes to mind as you're speaking. Person's
question. Oh, okay. Probably answered the question while it was happening. Yeah. Look, it's excessive. Obviously, excessive fuel that's going through the system. You've obviously got the blue smoke, you've got the white smoke, and the black smoke. The black smoke is to do with the fuel. I've picked it up on, especially on the diesel. I don't know. Sometimes one of the air pipes are off or something like that. You find that the vehicle becomes actually pushes out extreme black smoke, and that black smoke makes the whole back of the boot and everything else black as well. Similarly, with the petrol vehicles, if you have excessive fuel consumption on the vehicle. It's unburned fuel that's actually passing through the system, and with the result, it's pushing out that black smoke that's coming out the exhaust. Then you have the white smoke and the light bluish smoke. That is now we're talking oil consumption, which you spoke about earlier on. You'll find a lot of times, and it gives off actually a bad smell. To me, I don't know, being a mechanic for so long, that burning oil smell always gives me a headache. So if you're driving behind a guy and you notice the smoke coming out his exhaust, and you actually smell it, it's really nauseating. But yeah, you know, we always joke with guys like that. You know, you just go to the filling station, says, fill the oil and check the petrol. So that's when you know the car has got high oil consumption. But yeah, generally, the different smokes have different sort of messages to you. So if your car does have any sort of smoke coming out the back, obviously, on a cold winter's morning, don't phone me and say there's this sort of whitish smoke that disappears very quickly, because that's condensation happening on a winter's morning. So don't phone me with that. But yeah, if you have smoke that hangs around, talk to me and maybe we can talk about it.
Adil, a resale value of a 2009 VW Passat.
2009 VW Passat. I know Morana Kara has normally got the book and he's not yet today, but 2009.
I think, I'm just not going to... But I think I had a call something similar in the last 2 weeks or so.
200,000.
No, that's a lot less.
Less than
2009. If I recall correctly, it was something around the 79,000 mark.
Yes,
if I recall correctly, yeah. If I recall correctly, but don't hold me to that, please. I'm just not too sure on the year model, because I think I had a call regarding something like that.
Final one for this evening, we have those ad breaks. Engine knocks when accelerating.
Engine knocks when accelerating. I didn't hear it on in a long time. more like a pinging noise. We used to get it in the olden days when the octane or the spark plug was incorrectly used on the car. You had a pinging noise. But a knock when pulling, when accelerating, there could be a lot of things. You could have a bearing knock. You could have an engine mounting knock. You could have a suspension knock. So that the technician on left would take a car on a test drive and establish where the knock is coming from. It's very vague, the question, so it's difficult to answer it.
Yeah, I think
the noise can be from the engine. If it's from the engine, it can be one of the mountings, can be one of the pulleys, can be a bracket, or it can be an exhaust, can be within the engine, that means on the engine itself, the piston, the bearing, on the suspension, maybe the shock, the ball joint, the controller.
I think the other thing that we would actually request from the listeners themselves,
all those who are sending the SMSs and things like that. If you guys could be a bit more specific as to year model and things like that, that will make quite a difference on being able to answer the questions more accurately. But just another thing that I would like to, actually I would have shared with Brother Adil, but then I'm going to be selfish if I do that, so I'm going to share it out on air, is, you know, I picked up on a Ford Fiesta. You know, the guy actually had a problem, the timing belt jumped, everything was sorted out, and the car, you know, it will drive a little bit and it puts the engine management light on, that little yellow light. And, you know, after checking all the sensors, it actually says on the diagnostics, crank angle sensor, and after that being replaced, still same problem exists. And after close inspection, I found that the timing on the, because that's a twin cam motor, on the timing on the exhaust cam was out by one tooth, and that actually put the light on. The car would start, drive normally, everything, but that light would stay on, that orange light would stay on. I know I had a call regarding this also the other day. And yeah, if you are hearing, otherwise I will contact you. But this is where I had this problem, and I picked up this problem, and maybe you should have that checked on your vehicle. If you have done the crank angle sensor, and obviously that's got two cam sensors as well. So if you have changed those sensors, then it is important that you have someone have a look at your valve timing, which is a very, very important thing. I think if you recall on the old Hondas, you know, that was a common problem where somebody put the timing in incorrectly and the car would start, it would drive, but very, very sluggishly and that sort of stuff. The other very interesting thing about the Ford Fiesta, Adil, is two tooth out on timing.
Let me give you one, we need just 1 minute left. All right. End of. So, closing comments.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahib, it was a pleasure having you here. Alhamdulillah, and for everyone
out
there.
Don't make dua that you know, I see you more often, because that means my car is out of the studio more often.
Look, whatever happens in that way. But you know what, nonetheless, whether my car is here or Musaji is here, we still enjoy our program. Alhamdulillah.
It was a pleasure being with you guys.
All the guys out there, Jazakumullahu khairan.
I also benefited from the program and all those questions. Allah reward you all abundantly for answering those questions.
Ameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Enjoy the fishing.
Jazakallah. Inshallah. We'll give you a report. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.